to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host, Chris Cameron, and our guest this week, novelist and publisher, Shane Joseph. Shane, what are you working on at the moment?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I haven't been doing much other than the odd book reviews, blogs that get published on the Sri Lankan Anchorman news site. And I wrote one short story about the pandemic, called Social Distancing. But apart from that, and compared to last year when I had written two novels, I haven't been doing much. And I think, as I mentioned to Chris, I am probably recording. This time is a time of absorption. But overall, yeah, this is a great time to be, I think, a writer and to be going through something that we had never bargained that we would ever go through.
Now, you mentioned briefly there that you've been doing some reviews. Have you been doing more reading during these times, and do you find you're reading the same kind of things or something different?
I've been tending to read a lot of nonfiction recently. And in fact, I was reading one book about the evolution of trade. And it seems to be that these pandemics have followed trade paths in the past. You know, we had the Black Death that came twice. We've had smallpox that came with the settlers that brought it into North America. And now we have the pandemic. That has come, you know, through the trade routes that we've established. So, you know, the world seems to go through these cycles of boom and destruction. And this is not new. It's just that it's new for us. And we are living through it right now, right? So that has been one thing I've been doing.
I think, and I don't know if you agree, but everybody has been made to stop and think, I think, about what is important in their lives and what they would like to see changed. And I just hope that we'll carry through and some of the better, kinder things will stay and a lot of the greed and all that will go. Do you think literature will change in the post-pandemic stage?
Yes, I think the long forms of literature were in trouble even before the pandemic, right? With the social media revolution and the Netflix, binge-a-thon kind of entertainment that we've had, people have had less and less time to devote to longer forms of literature. And we've seen, you know, books, get shorter. Poetry has done well because poetry is digestible. But the long literary novels have taken a bit of a hit. And that's the stuff that I write. And so I'm seeing that as going to be a tough haul in a post-pandemic era. People will also be looking not for fiction so much as for nonfiction, because we saw that after 9/11, when there was a huge influx of nonfiction books because people got shocked into what was reality. And so that happened. On the flip side, I'm thinking that the ebook, I'm hoping that the ebook takes another jump in adoption. Because, you know, just as we've got used to Zoom and all these online methods of communicating and ordering and doing our work, the ebook, as a publisher and as a writer, for me, it's the easiest way to distribute one's content, right? And it's also, it saves the trees, it's environmentally friendly, it's cheaper than the paper book. It takes out costs like warehousing and returns and distribution and all that other stuff that is very time consuming and is not really an intrinsic part of the value of the book. So I'm thinking, yes, the long forms of literature are under threat, but the delivery mechanisms of those forms of literature are also seeing opportunities.
So apart from observing and, you know, noting down things in this time, what other advice would you give to writers?
You know, as I said, if you're stuck, if you've got writer's block and you've got all sorts of pressures on you, then just live through the moment because you're, as you say, you're recording. You know, if you are meant to write, forget about the fame, the fortune and all that stuff, you know, that it can vanish the next day, right? Because right. It doesn't really matter what the world cares about you. You need to write. And that's why I'm very keen to publish this next book of mine, which I wrote after I'd had a cardiac incident 2 years ago, 1.5 years ago. And I was on a whole bunch of medications and I was probably all the filters I had in me were gone. And so this book comes straight from the hip and it is pretty damn tough. So I'm thinking, yeah, this is me. This is what I'm totally take control of this book. I'm responsible for it. It has a very good moral story behind it, but it's a tough book. Maybe I need to put it out now. You know, this is the time we say to hell with public opinion and whatever, and communicate the way we intend to communicate. And so I think that book's going to come out this fall.
Maybe we can ask you to do about some more reading for us.
Yeah, sure. I'll read a blog article that I wrote, which is published by the Sri Lankan Anchorman in Toronto. And the reason I chose it was because it is what we're thinking right now. And it's okay to rant, because a lot of people are emotionally tied up and bottled up, and they need to have some expressions. So it's called Pandemic Ponderings. Since we shut down our economy over a month ago, I've been watching each day go by with a sense of bewilderment and dismay. My earlier hope for a better world is now held hostage by a sense of being useless, unable to determine what comes next. Is this what residing in a nursing home would be like when my time comes? The loss of those simple pleasures that were always taken for granted? Dining out in a restaurant, going to a party, or having one at home, attending a show or giving one, writing a book and launching it, reading to groups of enthusiastic fans, having a sing-song, going to the office and meeting customers and colleagues. All swiped away in a flash, as if we all had a collective stroke and are now rendered geriatric. Similar to prisoners allowed limited physical exercise, we are still being let out in Canada for small activities. A daily walk, as long as it is far apart from fellow citizens. A trip to the grocery store or the liquor shop. A drive to nowhere in particular, as long as we keep our vehicles' doors and windows shut while parked and socially distance ourselves all the time. And what were formerly occasional indoor activities have now ramped up to steroid quality and are performed on a daily basis with manic rigor. Netflix binges, Facebook marathons, Zoom meetings, cooking, eating, drinking, getting on our spouses' nerves, being driven crazy if there are small children in the house, trying to write the next pandemic bestseller, and for those teleworking and who have never done it before, ending up more stressed than ever with eye strain, calendar chaos, and work overload. And all the while cleaning, sanitizing, cleaning, and sanitizing. The remarkable thing is that we are all living the same boring life, irrespective of social class. Regular conversational topics are: what's the latest C9 statistics? Have we flattened the curve yet? What has Trump said today? What products is he endorsing now? What new government assistance program is being announced, and are we eligible? What are those people doing walking together in a group? That idiot came right up to me. Doesn't he know that social distancing is about? Check out this COVID joke on Facebook, eh? What happens if one of us tests positive? When is this damn thing going to end? What this pandemic has done for me is expose what a fragile and sometimes unnecessary economy we have created. When the cut was made to keep only essential services operational in order to flatten the curve, over 25% of workers were deemed non-essential. Who are these people? And why had we created them? Consultants, writers, travel agents, massage therapists, hairdressers, bartenders, restaurant servers, retail store clerks, except grocery store employees, fashion designers, project managers, marketing specialists, corporate executives, artists, musicians, actors, taxi drivers, the list goes on. Jobs that reflect an evolved society? I can count myself on more than one of those jobs. In fact, all the jobs I've held in my life fitted only into those non-essential categories. Had I lived a useless life, contributed nothing to essential society, but only to its snobby and evolved cousin? It's a bit late to go back and become a doctor now. And I'm too old, slow, and cranky to become a grocery store clerk. When we get back on our feet again, there will be choices to make as to what products and services we will consume. And I suspect the nice-to-haves will die on the vine. Let me take a punt as to what the future will look like. The earth will get a breather, and the mantra of growth for growth's sake will go out of fashion for a while. Strong-eyed politicians will be turfed out in favor of those with empathy, except perhaps in the USA, where they don't seem to know what they want. Career choices, for those still able to make them, will shift. Compensation scales will change as demand and supply for labor shifts. Entitlement will die a horrible death, for no one is entitled to live happily ever after anymore. Despite all the money in the world, a little bug can strike you down even if the sun shines out of your ass, UV rays notwithstanding. Globalization will morph into regionalization, as like-minded economies will trade with each other, and might is right will not be so important anymore, for guns and bombs cannot kill a small germ. And we will not make the stupid mistake of outsourcing our core survival requirements of food and medical supplies to other countries, no matter how strongly economic theories of comparative advantage, specialization, and economies of scale advise us to do otherwise. A brave new world indeed. Or one, soon to be forgotten, the moment a vaccine is found and we are free to slump back into our lazy ways and cast off 2020 as a bad dream on our otherwise busy dance card.
Well, thank you, Shane. Lots to think about there. And thanks very much for coming in today and talking about your recent writing experiences and thoughts for the future. I presume our listeners can buy your books in all the usual ways, especially online now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anywhere that good books are sold, Amazon.com, Kobo, local bookstore, anywhere.
And listeners, to connect with us, please send your comments, queries, or suggestions to our website, wordonthehills.com. At the website, you will find all our broadcasts archived to listen to at any time, and we'd love to hear from you, so please leave your comments there. Thanks for tuning in to the show. We hope you'll join us again for another program next week, Sunday at 1 p.m., right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.